This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi sahbihi wa ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our History of Islam class. Today is the introduction to this class. This is the first session of the History of Islam class, and we will start from the beginning of Islam. And that's why the subject is the history of Islam instead of the seerah. Because we believe that the Prophet ﷺ did not bring something new. He continued what other messengers came with. So basically, when does Islam start? When does the history of Islam start and why? Does it start from the messenger ﷺ? From the prophethood, from his birth? When does it start, basically? Anyone has an answer? From Nuh. So before Nuh, there was no Islam. Adam alayhi salam was not Muslim. It starts from Adam alayhi salam. So basically, Islam starts from day one of humanity. Islam starts from the time of Adam alayhi salam. Actually, that's why many scholars, like Ibn Kathir rahimahullah in his book, the book of history, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he did not start from the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. But rather he started from the creation of Adam alayhi salam, because he was the first Muslim. When we say Islam is submission, means Adam alayhi salam is the first one who submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the first Muslim. So that's when the history of Islam starts. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, he perfected this message. By sending Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, Islam was perfected. But before that, all the messengers are brothers. All of them conveyed the same message, which is the message of Islam. We mentioned that many subjects in religion, they overlap. And this is true about the seerah, the history of Islam, and the hadith. Because in seerah, we deal with the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ, and in the hadith also, we deal with the traditions of the Prophet ﷺ. However, in the seerah we don't verify much like what we do in the hadith, because basically we are dealing with historical incidents. Where in seerah we also focus on the life of the Prophet ﷺ. But in the hadith we focus on the traditions of the Messenger ﷺ. And in seerah you will find more narrations and more historical incidents about the era before Islam and after the Messenger ﷺ, the Khulafa. All this is included in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. In this subject, we'll try to combine between the books of history which are written about Islam, as I said, like Al-Bidayah wa Nihayah, Tariq al-Umam wal-Muluk for Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. Both of them, I believe, they are translated to English. And the other books of Seerah. Because usually when we say book of Seerah, it starts with the Prophet ﷺ. So we will take, before we move to the Seerah of the Messenger ﷺ, we will take a few sessions about the history before that. And we will start from Adam ﷺ. We believe that Adam ﷺ is the first human. And we don't believe in the evolution theory or the Darwinism. We don't believe in that. Even scientifically, until now, they say it's a theory. So we don't even need to spend much time refuting this false thing. Because in Islam, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, and Adam was the first human being. Human beings did not come from the apes. They did not evolve. They are as they are from day one, from the creation of Adam alayhi salam. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. When He created Adam, He is the first human being, He is the first Muslim. And we will discuss this inshallah further in the tafsir when we take the story of Adam alayhi salam. Now, why do we study seerah? Isn't it enough to study the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So why do we study the seerah? In the subject of the hadith, we study the traditions of the Messenger ﷺ. So why do we study seerah then? Studying the seerah will allow the Muslims to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, studying hadith is important, but it's not enough. You need to know how this happened. What's the reason beyond what happened? What's the reason behind it? So, studying the seerah will allow you to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And by studying the seerah, you achieve the love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which will not happen if you do not follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ask any person who idolizes any celebrity. They try to find all the information about them because they love them. So when we say we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what is the evidence for that? What's the proof of our love to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? By studying the seerah, we will be able to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, it helps us in lots of Islamic rulings. Now, in hadith, they may mention the narration, but what's the story? What's the reason? What happened before that? That's what we have in seerah. The beauty about the seerah, you start from the beginning, whether from the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or from the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While in hadith you have only narrations, they are not in order. Which narration came first? In seerah you take the incidents in order, the history in order. What happened first? What happened next? So that will help you knowing better the Islamic rulings. Also, studying the seerah will help us to know which came later. So which abrogated, which hadith is abrogated, and what's the abrogator, what came next. This will help us remove the contradiction that we may find in some of the ahadith, in some of the incidents. We gave an example about the jihad. There are many other examples that we will find out inshallah once we read and we move forward in studying the seerah and the hadith. Also, by studying the seerah, we take advantage and we learn the lessons. Now, many times we face some difficulties and we complain. And we think that this is very, very difficult time. Some people even say it's more difficult than the time of the companions or the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once we study the seerah, we will know for sure that we cannot compare our time to the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's never close to what they went through. They had to deal with lots of difficulties. How we will know that? By studying the seerah. After we study and we compare, we'll find out that they went through many difficulties. We cannot compare ourselves to them. And therefore, it will give us steadfastness. We will be more appreciative to what we have, and it will motivate us to work more and more. Also, we understand the wisdom behind some rulings. Now, when we read the story of Aisha radiallahu anha, when she lost her necklace, and upon that story, the ayah was revealed about the tayammum. The permission was given to perform tayammum. But what happened before that? Muslims were delayed, the entire army, they did not have water. Where do you find this? You find part of it in the hadith, and the major part you find it in the seerah. You study the seerah, you study the campaigns and the battles of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you find it there. So studying the seerah will allow you to understand the wisdom to some extent behind some rulings. Where do we find topics of this subject? Where do we go to read the seerah? Of course, we have the books of seerah, but that's all. First, we have the Quran. As I said, the Quran has many incidents about the seerah. So the first source for this subject is the Quran. And the second source is the book of hadith. Now, many times we have the hadith, the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it will let us know about some incidents. But the problem, the only problem in the hadith, that they are not in order. When you study the seerah, you study the historical time from year 1, year 2, and While in the hadith you have the narration. But still, the book of hadith, like the chapter in Sahih al-Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim, all books of hadith, they included the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the books of hadith are a source for this subject. Another source for this subject is the miracles and the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have some books talked about the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he was given. The Quran, splitting the moon, the water coming from his fingers. Now when you read this miracle, you read behind it the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it is another source of the seerah. Another source is the merits, the books of the merits of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We have several books. I have here one called Al-Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyya for Imam al-Tirmidhi. He combined the ahadith about the qualities and the merits of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the book. It is called Mukhtasar. This is the summarized one. Mukhtasar Al-Shama'il Al-Muhammadiyya for Imam al-Tirmidhi. All what you have here is a hadith, but also it is a great source for the seerah as well. And of course we have the books of seerah. So we have many sources. Do not think that you don't find the seerah except in the books of seerah, like Sirat ibn Kathir, Sirat ibn Hisham. No, there are other books as well. The exclusive books that are written about the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the seerah of Ibn Kathir. In Arabic it's in 4 volumes, and in English we have it in 2 volumes. This is the book, The Life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the second volume. We have the first volume as well. This is one of the books of seerah, and we have the summarized one. It's called Al-Fusul fi Sirat Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't think it's available in English, but we have it in Arabic. Al-Fusul fi Sirat Rasul. And I have it here actually. It's right there. I will not go. It's in red color. This is the book. It's also about the seerah. Al-Fusul fi Sirat Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's one volume. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah summarized and briefed what he wrote in 4 volumes. We have another book which is great. It's written in English, Sirat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wal-Mustashriqeen and the Orientalists. This book is printed in the King Fahd complex in Medina, the same place where they print the Quran. This book is very good because it talks especially about the suspicions of the Orientalists. And of course we have The Sealed Nectar, Al-Rahiq Al-Makhtum, for Sheikh Safi Rahman Mubarak Furi. And we have the smaller one, When the Moon Split. And we have them both, and you're supposed to have them both, or at least one of them. Both of them, I believe they are printed in Dar es Salaam. This is one of them. And this is the book that we will study, inshallah, When the Moon Split. Actually, alhamdulillah, we have many books. We have many books written about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have many books written about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in English. However, unfortunately, most of these books, they don't relate to the non-Muslim people. They don't relate to the Western culture or the Western society. And I have a wish. I wish if one day an English speaker wrote, a Muslim, wrote a book about the seerah of the Messenger ﷺ in a way that he relates to the non-Muslims. Nowadays, you go to any bookstore, Barnes & Nobles, Amazon, what's the best-selling book about the Messenger ﷺ? Whether it's written by an Orientalist, which includes many things which are wrong, or a book written by a non-Muslim, which is still good, but he's not Muslim. Like the biography of the Prophet ﷺ according to the early writers. This is one of the best-selling books. And alhamdulillah, at least it is a good book about the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need, since we live here in a Western society, we need to produce something suitable. It doesn't have to start from year one or from the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What many people did, they came to this book, it's written in Arabic, and they translated it to English. That's good, alhamdulillah, but it's not enough. It's not enough. Everybody has to love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If people knew the reality of the personality of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of them, they would believe in him. But I believe we did not do our job correctly. The Orientalists, the people who have hostility, they did their job. And we blame them. You don't blame someone for doing his job. If he's your enemy, that's what you should expect from him. But did you do your job? That's the question. How many books written by Muslims in a way that it relates to the Western culture? That's what we need to do. So inshallah, hopefully, some of the Ari students will do this soon, inshallah. Remember how many books do we have? It's best-selling book. The ex-president of the United States, he wrote his life in a book, and it's best-selling. Many celebrities, they wrote books, and it's selling. So why don't we write something? We say we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How do we reflect this in writing? You will get the money, inshallah, so you'll get a worldly benefit, and you will get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if you came in the Day of Judgment with a book written about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe you cannot write a book, a CD. Alhamdulillah, a nice CD was released, and there are many CDs, but you need something focused to the non-Muslims. Alhamdulillah, for the Muslims, we have many books. I could list to you at least 10 books, but to the non-Muslims. This is one of the best-selling book. And look what it has in the introduction. And so I believe today that my conduct is in accordance with the will of Almighty Creator. In standing guard against the Jew, I am defending the handiwork of the Lord. The writer of this book sold more than 5 million copies. Do you know who's the writer? Now it's clear. Anti-Semitism, but it was selling. He's Hitler, Adolf Hitler. He wrote this book, and it, with lots of hostility, this is the introduction of this book. He's telling everybody that the Lord commanded me to kill the Jews. Now the Prophet ﷺ never did that, yet we don't have a best-selling book about the Messenger ﷺ. This is just a simple reminder for myself and for you, that we take responsibility by following the Prophet ﷺ to defend him. The companions, they did not allow anything to be said against the Messenger ﷺ. So what have we done? We have to respond. We have to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Messenger on the Day of Judgment. But before we do that, at least we have to improve ourselves. We have to follow the Prophet ﷺ. We have ourselves to know more about the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ. Nowadays, if you ask many people, many Muslims, what do they know about the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ? They don't know that much. Maybe if you ask them about astros or rockets, they know the names of the players and they know the people more than they know the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is just a reminder. I don't know if you know this answer or not. How many children did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have? Louder. Six. Do you agree? Six? Yes. He actually had four. Seven. Six or seven. So we don't have even a definite answer. Who are they? Who are the children of the Prophet ﷺ?
The children from Khadija.
From Khadija.
Umm Kulthum.
Fatima.
Ruqayya.
And
Ibrahim
is not from Khadija. Ibrahim from Maria. It's correct. He had four daughters from Khadija. Didn't he have any male children from Khadija? Al-Qasim. That's it? So if Al-Qasim with the four daughters, how many? Five. With Ibrahim, six. Scholars agreed on six. They differed if there is another one. Many scholars said he had two boys from Khadija radiallahu anha. They died. So the total is seven or six. But when you say four or three, or you don't even know, or you have a wrong answer, because once I asked this question and they said Al-Hasan wal-Husayn. Yeah, we laugh, but we should cry, because it's tragedy when you don't know the names of the children of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, you had something, Shahada? Tahir. Yeah, Tahir, he's from Khadija, but some said it's the title of Al-Qasim, Al-Tayyib and Al-Tahir. How many uncles did the Prophet ﷺ have in his lifetime? After Islam. After he received the revelation. How many uncles did he have?
Four, five.
Any other answer? Yes?
Ayan says
three. MashaAllah, we have three answers now. Three, four, five. Who are they?
Abu Lahab.
Abu Lahab.
Abu Sufyan.
Abu Sufyan.
Abu Jahl.
Abu Jahl.
Abu Talib.
Abu Talib.
Hamza.
These are five. What about Al-Abbas?
Al-Abbas.
So they are six? No. Wrong. Abu Jahl is not his uncle. Abu Jahl is not. Abu Lahab and Abu Talib, they are disbelievers. And we have Al-Abbas and Hamza, they are believers. Abu Sufyan is not the uncle of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Four. But the total uncles of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. I thought his father was the tenth.
Exactly, his father was the tenth. So how many uncles did he have?
Nine.
But when he received the revelation, there were only four.
The rest
of
the
past. So only two became Muslim?
Yes, two Muslims and two non-Muslims. So again, these should be basic information, which we should know. So that tells you we need to work on ourselves a lot. So we'll start with Adam alayhi salam. Adam is the first Muslim. And there is no time to discuss all the details. We will mention only a few things, like how he was created, Adam alayhi salam. From clay. Because we have this in the Quran. خلق الإنسان من صلصال كالفخار وخلق الجنة من مارج من نار. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam himself with his hand. So Adam was the first human being. Then comes Hawa, Eve. She was created from Adam alayhi salam. How long did Adam alayhi salam live? Do you know?
1,000 years.
1,000 years? Do you have an evidence?
Because he gave what? 40 years?
Yes, he gave 40 years to whom?
To Dawood.
So he lived for 960 years, and when the angel of death came, he said, I have 40 more years left. And he was told, you already gave them to Dawood, and he refused. So he was given the 40 years. So he lived for 1,000 years.
Didn't they say like he was 100 feet tall?
There are some narrations. 70 feet. Yeah. Yeah, it's actually the there are many narrations about the Prophet from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the creation when it began, they were tall and then it declined. Yeah, Like the grave of Habil, the second son of Adam alayhi salam, they say it is in Syria. I saw it, but there is no authentic narration says it is there, and it's like longer than this room. So Allahu alam. But it's true, there are narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and actually there is authentic narration that even on the day of judgment, the people will be returned to their original creation, 70 feet, 33 years age. So the age will be 33 and the length will be 70 feet. So that's the height of Adam alayhi salam. Then we will move quickly to Nuh alayhi salam. Was there any prophet between Adam and Nuh? Was there any prophet?
No.
Yes, there was. Prophets, but not messengers. Nuh alayhi salam was the first messenger. Nuh alayhi salam was the first messenger. But there were prophets like Idris. Idris came before Nuh. Some say he came after. But definitely there were few prophets between Adam and Nuh. How many years were between Adam and Nuh?
Generations.
10 generations, exactly. That's what came in Sahih al-Bukhari. So these information, you need to know them. There are 10 generations between Adam and Nuh. And this hadith will come with us, inshallah, in the Aqidah. How long did Nuh alayhi salam live?
900
years. 900? Yes. Arshiya says 900 and Omar says 950. Well, Allah says in the Quran in Surah Al-Ankabut, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا. We sent Nuh to his people, so he remained with them 950 years. Basically, Allah says 1,000 except 1,000 but 50. So 950 years. Scholars said this is the period of his prophethood. 950 years was the period of his prophethood, which means he lived before that. So it could be 50 years, Allahu alam, but definitely it's more than 950 or 950, not less than that, because Allah says he remained with them 950 years. And again, this is mentioned in the Quran. So when you read the Quran, remember these things, what you are reading. What was his miracle? What was his miracle? The flood? The flood was the miracle, or the ship of Nuh alayhi salam, the boat. Yes. That was his miracle. And it was said that they found it on the top of a mountain in Turkey, but Allahu alam, if it's true or not. What do we learn from his story? From the story of Nuh alayhi salam? Now, did many people believe in him or few people? Very few. Although he was with them for how long? 950 years. And we have some people, after 1 year they complain. Or after even one time. And they complain. I invited some people to Islam and they refused. Well, what do you expect? That's your job. Your job starts when they reject. Guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you do your job. After 950 years, you can complain. Before that, do not complain. Very few people believed. So you learn that guidance is not from you. It is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though he lasted for 950 years, one of his sons, he did not believe. He asked him to come with him and he refused. And Allah told him, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. He is not from your family. He disobeyed him once. And he was not from his family. Scholars say, so what about the people who disobey their parents time after time and after time? Nuh alayhi salam, his son, disobeyed him once, and that's what happened to him. Anyway, we will move to Ibrahim alayhi salam, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says, وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as a friend. His life was amazing. The life of Ibrahim alayhi salam, it was amazing. Because at his time, he was the only believer. He and his wife. he and his wife. What was the miracle of Ibrahim alayhi salam?
The fire.
The fire.
That stone, the flying stone, whatever, when he's building Makkah, when he flowed.
When he built Mecca, we will come to the details later on when we talk about Mecca. But basically, when he was thrown into the fire, it did not harm him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا. He had, Ibrahim alayhi salam, as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, he's the first one to exercise the art of debate with the non-Muslims, with the disbelievers. He had lots of debates with his people, with his father, as it's mentioned in Surah Taha, with his people, in many places in Surah Al-Shu'ara, in Surah Al-Furqan, in Surah Al-An'am, with the king, Namrud, in Surah Al-Baqarah. So he had many debates. He had to go through lots of trials. And that's basically why he deserved to be the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot, as they say, no pain, no gain. Things are not acquired easily. You have to pay the price for them. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had to go through lots of things. And he is the first one to migrate in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. So he is the first one to legislate the migration for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left his people, he left his relatives, he left his own country for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they were disbelievers. There are many lessons in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. His children, who are they? Ismail and Ishaq. Ismail and Ishaq. Although he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for one, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him two. So you learn to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is able to give you more than what you deserve or more than what you ask for. So learn to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, and He will give you. All of them, both of them, Ishaq and Ismail, were prophets. And from their progeny also, prophets and messengers came. Nowadays, Christians and Jews, they say we follow the Abrahamic faith. But do they really follow it, or we are the true followers? This is another thing. Ibrahim alayhi salam called for one message. His message was Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you claim that you're following the Abrahamic faith, where is the Abrahamic faith? And they say Abrahamic faith, actually it's one faith, it's not faith, it's faith. Because it's the faith of Tawheed. So whether they are Jews or Christians, what do they know about Ibrahim alayhi salam? We sacrifice because we follow Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was commanded to sacrifice his son. We perform Hajj because Ibrahim alayhi salam is the one who started calling for Hajj. So what do they say when, what do they know about Ibrahim alayhi salam? You need to use these things when you talk about Ibrahim, especially to non-Muslims. Who is the messenger who was a relative to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Lut. Exactly. Lut alayhi salam was a relative to Ibrahim alayhi salam. قَالَ إِنَّ فِيهَا لُوطًا قَالُوا نَحْنُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِيهَا. And of course, the Quran related to us many messengers. Are all the messengers and prophets mentioned in the Quran? No? What's the evidence?
There's a hadith of the Prophet that
There's a hadith of the Prophet?
Yeah, that says that there's many messengers who came. I don't remember the hadith.
It's an ayah actually. Minhum man qasasna alayka wa minhum man lam naqsus alayk. Of the messengers, those which we related to you their stories, and those which we did not relate to you their stories. So not all the messengers, their stories are mentioned in the Quran. We have a few are mentioned in the Quran, but there are many that are not mentioned in the Quran. Your job, you have an assignment, your homework is to list all the messengers and prophets that are mentioned in the Quran. Where do you find this? in the book of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, stories of the prophets. With this, we will conclude our session. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبي محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين.